Hi, it's Monday, 5th of May, 2025. I am independent podcaster Claire Waite-Brown.
And I'm Sam Sethi, the CEO of True Fans. So Claire, this podcast, who's it aimed at? What's the goal of this podcast?
This is my perfect podcast because it is aimed at the independent creators out there like myself. In many ways, Sam, we want to help those independent creators with their discovery, with their interactivity, with monetization. We also want to help them by showcasing them on this show. Also, Sam, I hadn't realized this until quite recently, but True Fans also showcases music artists. So again, in creators, we're going to showcase those guys as well.
Lovely. So when people are featured on creators and on True Fans, where can they be found?
Yeah, the beauty of this is obviously we will talk with those creators. We'll find out more about their shows on the audio podcast. But we will also, because I've asked you and you said you will, feature those shows and those artists on the homepage carousel. So on the podcast's homepage, when you come straight into True Fans, you're greeted by shows that we recommend. And if you are the podcast that we feature that week, that's where you'll appear. And the same goes with music artists.
Excellent. Now, each week, Claire, our goal is to have a podcast of the week, music of the week, possibly a feature of the week. That's variable. But we want feedback and we'll be answering questions as well about generic podcast questions, but also specific to True Fans. Now, let's start the show. Oh, look, Claire, you know what? In this show, we're going to make you the featured podcaster of the week. That is because I want to set out what sort of questions we're going to ask people in the future. It also gives people an understanding of how we want to promote independent podcasters. So tell me more. What is your show and what's it about?
Well, I'm very happy to be the guinea pig and I'm very happy to be able to speak about Creativity Found, which is my interview podcast where I speak with people who have found or refound their creativity in adulthood. So we talk about the periods in life when people are maybe not encouraged to do creative activities. There are various reasons why people decide that their creative endeavors are not important. So we talk about that. We talk about what happens in the meantime, and we'll talk about how they find or return to a creative activity and how that makes their life now all the better.
When did you start that podcast?
It will be 5 years old in November 2025. So it was a cliche. It's a COVID baby. And it was born out of my not being able to do something else that I was doing at the time because of COVID. And that's how I was encouraged to start podcasting on a whim, I'm afraid.
Now, how many episodes have you done?
I think I'm definitely in the 120s. I think I might be 124 by now. I started off weekly because it was 2021 and I didn't have anything else to do because I had no books to edit. And then when the real job started getting busy again, I took the podcast to fortnightly. It was a revelation for me. And this is what I love about independent podcasting, to say to myself, who are you trying to kid, Claire? It's your show. If you can't do it weekly, do it fortnightly. And that works for me.
Exactly. Now, how did you get over what they call the 7-episode hump? Because in the industry, there is a number generally somewhere between 5 and 7 when people have done that number of episodes and then they go, oh, no one's listening. I don't want to do it anymore. It's too hard to edit, or no one's sponsoring me, or whatever it may be. There's a massive drop off. How did you get past that initial hump?
Yeah, I think I was just so very excited about the project and I was deep in the planning of the project and I was finding guests. At that point, I needed to source guests. Nowadays, guests come to me. But I was so engrossed in that kind of research, but also speaking to some really lovely people and hearing some really great stories and then wanting other people to hear those stories because those people can be helped by those stories. I had a similar kind of Creativity Found experience, although I didn't realize it at the time. And I just wanted more people to hear what ordinary people out there were saying about, I tried it, I was rubbish, or I tried it, I was scared, or I tried it, I wanted to be perfect and I wasn't, but I kept going. And I just wanted those stories to be heard. I think As is my wont, I'm very well organised. So I did have quite a lot of guests in the bag before I actually started releasing. And then I'd been researching more guests, and then guests started coming to me. So I couldn't really stop then.
Now, everyone has the same questions at the beginning. You know, what mic should I use? What software should I use? What are you using? What did you start with and what are you currently using?
I started in real life, and this is another example of how the show changes and how your podcast can change, because I started in real life. So I've always worked on a Mac. So I had GarageBand. I bought the microphone that everybody moans about. I bought a Blue Yeti. Yeah. I was fine with it. If I used it the right way, it was absolutely fine. So I would go to real people, and it was at a time in the summer when we were allowed to meet real people at a distance. So I actually interviewed in real life then, and I did it all in GarageBand, taught myself how to edit, and I still use GarageBand to edit now. And then we went back into another lockdown, so I had to explore how to record remotely, which weirdly widened my horizons, which gave me guests all over the world rather than guests in my local area of Oxfordshire. And I did upgrade my microphone, although that was because I won one when I won an award. And I now use a Shure MV7, and I was scared to open it from the box to begin with. But eventually I gave myself time to learn it, and it's super duper.
It is very super duper indeed. Now, what's that one word of advice you would give to your old self now that you can look back 5 years, now that you've done over 100 episodes, now that you've got your equipment and microphone all set up? What's the one word of advice you would say that would have made podcasting easier or better for you?
I love this piece of advice, and I give it a lot, and that is, don't listen to other people's advice. What I mean is, people will tell you, you have to be consistent, you have to do this, you have to have 3 episodes, and you have to try and get to the top of the Apple charts, all of that kind of stuff. I started this because I liked the subject matter. I turned into an absolute avid podcaster, podcast listener, podcast enthusiast. And along the way, as I already explained with the fortnightly thing, I learned that I didn't have to do what other people were telling me to do. And that makes it all the more joyful. And along the way, the show has become very popular. I've met all these super people. I've learned such a lot about podcasting. And yeah, so don't listen to me.
Given that you're now what I would call a fairly experienced podcaster, what's the one thing you still want to change or improve with your podcasting?
With my podcasting, I love it, but so many aspects of it are so time consuming. I love editing, and I probably edit as a book editor. I probably edit a lot more than is necessary because I'm really a perfectionist, but you know, I enjoy doing that. And also like the planning as well, the meeting of guests. I like to have a pre-chat because I like to really know what my guests are going to say before I speak. So it does take a lot of time. I don't know what an answer to that would be, because I would be loath to give any of those roles to anybody else. So I can't really help myself.
Yeah, I can tell you she doesn't like giving that role out. I edited last week's show and instantly got told that was rubbish. And she was right, by the way. So there you go. Now, how do you go about promoting your podcast to get new listeners? What's, you know, the way that you do it?
That's another time-consuming aspect of it, and it's not the most exciting one either, unfortunately. Going on other podcasts, now that is good fun. I do like doing that. But again, that takes work. You know, it takes some research to find the other kind of shows that you would like to be on and then approach. But that is a good way to do it. Social media is always there. I have a little routine. When I'm putting out a new episode, I put 3 posts out. I use a scheduling platform to do those in advance, so I don't have to think of it day by day. That saves a lot of time. And my favourite word of mouth, you know me, Sam, I do like going out and chatting with people. And that has really helped with podcast growth for Creativity Found and some of the other shows I've started work on as well.
So given that you've got your discovery, you must have now had a few people giving you some feedback. What was it like when you got your first comment, and what do you think people should do to encourage interactivity?
It's so lovely when you get a comment, because you know, you can use your hosting company to see numbers on a screen. So you know there are people downloading your episodes. And then when somebody actually says, oh, I really loved it when you said this, you're like, oh, there's a real person. There's a real person that listens to my show. Somebody came up to me at Podfest this year and wanted to speak to me and say how much she liked my show. And it was just lovely. I do understand, however, and I know that with True Fans and the other Podcasting 2.0 apps, we're trying to encourage a bit more communication between listener and creator. Listeners, certainly in my experience, maybe that's just because of the style of show I do, are much happier to listen and then carry on. I do, you know, encourage them to say there are these easy ways that you can comment. I mean, I do have a Facebook group, and so that kind of feedback does come through that. But I do understand that it is difficult to get that connection between listener and creator, definitely.
I think one of the things is asking people. If you don't ask people to leave you a comment or leave you feedback, they don't. I do think sometimes just asking as a creator for people to do that is sort of giving them permission in some ways. You're seeking that feedback, and therefore they feel they have permission to give it to you.
You're right, but also they may not know how to do it. So telling them how to do it is also key.
Now, the other big question most new podcasters ask is, who do you host with and why?
I host with Buzzsprout. I cannot remember why. I did do research. I cannot remember why I went with Buzzsprout, but I'm very, very pleased that I did. I find their interface really, really easy to use, and their support is absolutely brilliant. I've often sent emails on a Sunday, not expecting a reply, but the support team there are brilliant, and they're also really friendly, and I get to know them by name. But the other thing with Buzzsprout for me, I was listening to Buzzcast and I listened to some of their other podcasts about podcasting, and they were talking about things like transcripts and chapters. And these are all really easy things to do in Buzzsprout. So I just assumed that every podcaster was doing that. And I was thinking, this has got to be good for discoverability somehow. I mean, the process is there to do it, so it's probably a good thing that I do it. And it wasn't till I then started researching for Podcasting 2.0 in Practice, one of my other shows, that I realized not every host does everything that Buzzsprout does. So I'm very happy with them. I have tried some other hosts. For example, I do host with Captivate, who are very, very good. And their interface is just slightly more technical, whereas Buzzsprout's is a bit more human. Just depends what you like, but they're both very easy to use either way.
Mm. Now, do you make any money from your podcast? Because that's the one thing that people ask about. I've done this podcast, I've got costs, I've bought microphones and software, and there's the time cost, but there's also the hosting cost. So people would like to, if they could break even, would be good. How do you make money from your podcast?
Well, I have one supporter, which is lovely. One monthly supporter. Thank you very much, Seychelles. And I do have a Buy Me a Coffee, for which I have also had one supporter. Thank you very much, Miss Eileen. What I did before I started to understand about value for value payments, micropayments and stuff like that, was I started a website and a membership based on what Creativity Found is all about. So in the end, I ended up making another business based on the podcast. So that makes some regular money. And therefore, in a way, the podcast is like an advert for that, is like marketing for that. So any pre-roll, mid-rolls you'll hear in the Creativity Found podcast is me advertising creativityfound.co.uk. And I started to learn a bit more about value for value payments a couple of years ago. And that's why I started to explore that. And for some shows, that's more relevant than others. For example, Podcasting 2.0 in Practice, that gets more support through the 2.0 apps because of the nature of its content. So I just need to be persuading Creativity Found audience that there are other ways that you can support me and support this show. So that's some work I need to do.
Now, what is the one thing in the podcast industry that frustrates you and the one thing that excites you?
God, I'm going to say what frustrates me, and people might not like me.
Okay.
Celebrities. That just cannot be doing with celebrities. And this is why I'm always bandying on about independent creators who make it from scratch and they don't have the background that other performers who have built their career in other spheres already have. So if you're a radio presenter or a TV presenter, lovely, well done, great. And then you come into podcasting, you're instantly got a head start on anybody that's podcasting from the word go and doesn't have that background. I shouldn't feel like that. I know I should be very equal and everybody's equal, but they do get a massive head start. So that's why I do only actually listen to podcasts by non-celebrities.
Claire, thank you very much. Look, that's the format of what we want to do. I mean, the questions will vary from week to week slightly, but that's what we want to do with independent podcast creators. Get you on the show, talk to you about your podcast, talk to you about how you got started, some of the challenges you're facing, and we will look at some of the features and functions you've enabled for your podcast and maybe highlight ways for you to improve that. Maybe turning on transcripts or adding the person tag to your podcast may help with discoverability. So that's the format, Claire. Please remind everyone again how they could get featured on this show.
Very, very easy, Sam. You need to head over to truefans.fm, first of all. So you do need to be listening in TrueFans. It's really easy. Once you go to truefans.fm, you can download that to your home screen and use it just like an app. You can then sign in. It's very easy to sign in. We talk about it in an early episode of Fan Zone. Then all you need to do is choose any of our creators' episodes. You click on either the tab called Comments, or there's a lovely little icon of a speech bubble. You can click on that and you can write us a comment. If you add a micropayment to that, it's called a super comment. So either way, you can write a comment or a super comment telling us that you'd like to be considered and we'll have a look at your show.
Excellent. Now, the other thing we want to do is also feature independent music artists. One of the things that I've loved about Podcasting 2.0 and the extension of RSS is that we've included music artists now who clearly are not getting a lot of coverage or a lot of listeners on platforms like Spotify or Apple, and they actually are looking for new ways to reach their audiences directly. And RSS has become one of those ways of doing it. And again, there are a number of places. Wavelake is one, LM Beats is another, and RSS Blue. These are web hosting sites that will feature artists that we can then pull into TrueFans. And each week we want to feature one of those artists. We will also be inviting an artist onto the show as well. And very much like the podcast, we will feature them on the music tab in the header and in the carousel as well. So if you're a music artist and you want to be featured, please just send us a comment. Claire and I will look through it and we will go and say, yeah, come on the show. Or like this week where we haven't got a featured artist, but we will feature every week a song of the week. And this week's song is from a friend of mine, actually, Joe Martin. Joe is from Manchester. He's been an independent songwriter for ages, and he has been involved in the podcasting 2.0 scene for probably the best part of 3-4 years. He's been telling his fans, promoting the capability of how you can pay micro payments directly to him while listening to his music. He's a great, great artist, and this week's song is called Can't Promise You the World.
Don't know if it's for better or for worse, that I could have you if I only had the nerve. Drop everything, jump on a plane, but that's not how real life works. And I think of all the things I'm gonna say when I finally see you in the flesh again. Words won't be enough, I just won't feel your touch. If I could, you know I would, but I can't promise you the world, but I can promise you mine if you'll take it and be my girl. I'd make a deal with the universe just to be with you too. I can't promise. promise you the world, but I can promise you mine. And I forgot that money ain't an end, but a means to take care of you and set us free from the drudgery, mundane tragedy of life. Taking each day, doing the best I can. If I could, you know I would, but I can't promise you the world, but I can promise you mine if you'll take it and be my girl. Make a deal you the world, but I can promise you mine. And if our paths should never cross again, I hope this song will find you in the end. If I could, you know I would, but I can promise you the world, can promise you mine if you take it and be my girl. I'd make a deal with the universe just to be with you tonight. No, I can't promise you the world, but I can promise you mine.
Another great choice by you, Sam. Thanks for sharing that.
Next week, it's your choice, Claire. Unless, of course, some music artist does write into us and leave us a comment, maybe then it'll be their choice. But yeah, looking forward to your choice next week. Now, one of the things we want to do on this show is also eat our own dog food. And that means using the features and functions of True Fans to help promote the show, make it better for discoverability. Obviously, we've talked about comments and super comments for interactivity, and micropayments to maybe support this show. But one of the other things we want to do is also talk to you about how you as an independent podcast creator can include your guests in your shows. And if anyone pays you, you can split the money with them. So one of the features of micropayments is that it is what we call programmable money. And that means that you can put percentages. So for example, if somebody was paying this show, Claire gets 50% of any of the money that we receive, and I get 50%. And that's what we call splits. But what we also do is we add the independent podcaster and the independent music artist to the splits as well. So if you support this show in any way, whether you're streaming sats or streaming in a fiat currency or leaving a super comment, then some of that money will go to Claire, some of that money to me, and some of the money will go to the independent podcaster and the independent music artist as well. So that's how splits work with programmable money. And that's one of the reasons why Podcasting 2.0 is so exciting, is because we don't have to rely on advertising and we don't have to rely on third-party host-read ads. We can actually reach out to our fans, the people who listen to the show, and ask them to support us directly. And it's wallet to wallet. And again, when you set up accounts in TrueFans, we give you a wallet. We give you some funny money, the tokens, the sats, so you don't have to dip into your own pocket. And you can share that back with your favourite creators. Awards, news and events. This is the part of the show where we talk about stuff that we think is relevant for independent podcast creators. I think the big thing this month, we're into May now, is the London Podcast Show. We talked a little bit about your experience last year at it. But again, why would you want to go along to it if you're an independent podcast creator? Surely it's just for big companies and large podcast networks, isn't it?
On the outside, it would appear so. When you go into the hall, that's what you see. You see the big companies, you see big corporate displays, you see people having meetings looking all really, really important. But when I go onto the floor, I always end up meeting hundreds of other independent podcasters. And I mentioned this in the last episode. The events that surround the actual show are also very much geared towards the independent podcasters and meeting people, finding out about other shows. You might find guests for your show. You might find shows that you can guest on. And it's also a really good time to just geek out about podcasty stuff, because I don't know about you other independent podcasters out there, but my family don't enjoy talking about podcasting as much as I do. But if you go to the London Podcast Show, you're always going to find someone to geek out about podcasting with you.
Yes, and one of the things I love about the podcast industry, and I've been in it for about 5-6 years now, is how friendly people are. And I mean that genuinely from top to bottom, because I've been in other industries in computing. I've been in it 35 odd years. And, you know, you can go to those industry meetings and people are quite aloof. Oh, who are you? Show me your business card. Is it, say, VP at the front or senior director? If it doesn't, I'm not interested. Whereas I found in the podcast industry, whether you're starting out from new or you're a seasoned podcaster, I think people are very, very warm and very engaging and always there ready to help with questions that you might have as well.
Completely agree. Now it's time for the inbox, Sam.
So, Claire, did we get any comments from the trailer or last week's show?
We absolutely did. And as we just spoke about, it is so lovely to hear from real people really listening. So over at True Fans, comments on the trailer. We heard from the late bloomer actor who said, "You know me too well, team. I'd love to be on the show and talk about podcasting from my side of the fence as an indie, yes, unfunded podcaster. Congrats on the new show. Cheers, the late bloomer actor, aka David John Clark, Adelaide, Australia." And David John Clark gave us 343 sats. Thank you so much. We then heard from Lindsay Weston. Lindsay said, "I'd love to get involved, stroke have a mention for Making Stitches podcast and or Gibraltar Stories podcast, both of which are my podcast babies." Aww. And then, now, you're going to tell me this is ducks in a row. 2,222 from Martin Lindskog. Is that 2,222? That's ducks in a row, apparently.
It is, yes. One of the things within the podcasting scene, there are certain numbers that have connotations. You can get 1701, I don't know why, but that's called the Star Trek comment. And so, yes, 222 is known as a row of ducks, and 111 is known as a satchel of Richards. I have no idea why, but there you go.
Right, I'm going to have to start writing these down for the future. My bingo sats. Martin has said, best premises. I wonder if yes. He means premise.
No, this is a Swedish thing that Martin does. I have no idea what it means, but clearly it's a translation of what they say in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
And it all starts off with best premise.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Martin. Best premises with the podcast. Great initiative. You have the ducks in a row. Oh, I should have read ahead, shouldn't I? Because Martin actually explained the ducks in a row. And also for our inaugural episode last week, we've had a comment from Matt Watts, who says, "Hi, Sam and Claire. I make What's on Your Screen." That's clever, isn't it? "A show about the vastly different ways we all use the internet. So far, it's included interviews with an autism influencer, a tech-savvy vicar, and a 77-year-old GIF enthusiast. I'd love to be considered for a future episode. Thanks." I actually met Matt in Birmingham at UniPodFest. So thanks so much for those comments and for giving a very good example of how to submit your show to be a possible future feature for creators. What Sam and I will be doing is we are gathering that information, we'll be listening to your shows, and we will be in contact about featuring you. One thing I was hoping for with this, Sam, is that we'll be able to feature different types of shows and different genres to give us a bit of variety. So, for example, I spoke about today about an interview show. Maybe next week we'd like to do an audio fiction, or, you know, the week after we might do some comedy, or we might do some language learning or some tech or some science. So while we're looking at the shows that are submitted, I think I'd like to have a little look about getting variety in there and moving things around so we get a good mix. What do you think?
Variety is the spice of life, Claire. Now, you can also support this show if you want. You go to the Creators podcast page and you see a little hand with a heart on it. You can click on that. And you can choose if you want to support the show with a small micro payment or a small donation, be it £3, $3 or whatever you would like. It's the same as doing it with Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee. It's a feature we've built into TrueFan. So again, if you'd like to support the show, please do. And we will name check you on the show in the future as well.
Brilliant. Sam, we have had a few questions, which is not surprising because this is all pretty new for lots of people. So do you mind if I ask you some questions from our listeners?
Yeah, go for it. I'm nervous as hell now, but go for it. Yes.
Don't worry. I know you know the answers. I've checked them. So first up, someone has asked, is TrueFans an app, as I can't find it in the app store? How do we get TrueFans if it's not in an app store, Sam?
Okay, so first of all, no, we are not an app yet. And the heavy leaning on the word yet, we are bringing out the apps very soon for iOS and Android. We are what's called a PWA or a progressive web app or a UWA, a universal web app. You can get us on any platform via your browser. So that's mobile, desktop, even on your TV. But we are not yet a native app, but we will be very soon. Now, if you have gone to your browser and typed out truefans.fm, one of the things you can do is add it to your desktop or to your home screen. So there is an option in your phone. If you click on add to home screen, then it will place an icon just as you would with a native app. And then you can click on that every time you want to use TrueFans, and it's just one click away. Equally, you can do the same on your desktop as well. You can create a app that you can place on your desktop or in your system tray at the bottom. So it works exactly the same way as a native app, but of course, we aren't in the app store just yet.
Okay, brilliant. And we will let you know when we are. Another question. By chance, you touched on this earlier, but I'm going to give you a chance to elaborate on it now. When we were talking about the music artists, so somebody has asked, how can music artists get their music listed in TrueFans? Now, this is a good question for me because I have two music artists I want to tell the answer of this question to that I know.
A couple of years ago, a company called Wavelake, WAVLake.com, out of Nashville, started to allow music artists to upload their music like they would a podcast and an episode into Wavelake. And then they listed them out with cover art. So that was the album art. And then you'd have each track listed. And so, yes, it looked like a podcast. It acted like a podcast with RSS. And then podcasting apps like TrueFans could then ingest that into our platform and feature it. And in fact, if you go to the music tab in TrueFans and you click on a music track, we change some of the UI user interface. So it won't say episodes, it'll say tracks or singles or album, depending on how many tracks there are. And again, we've tried to make it a little bit more customized so that it feels like you're listening to music rather than just a podcast. Now, there are other places you can do that. LM Beats is one. RSS Blue is a host that allows you to upload your music and do the same thing. And excitingly, in, again, a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be announcing, well, I can say it here, but we'll officially announce it. We will be allowing music artists to upload their tracks to TrueFans directly. and we will host and distribute those on your behalf as well.
Oh, brilliant. Super. Right. The last question is actually one from me, Sam. We talked a bit about wallets last week, and I started doing some streaming because I've got some money in my wallet now. So I did actually start.
Ooh, look at you.
I know. I did start to stream. For anyone who doesn't know, that means I'm paying a small micropayment per minute of the show that I listen to. Now, what occurred to me was, if that show that I'm streaming money to, if that creator has not claimed their show on TrueFans, so therefore they haven't been given a TrueFans wallet, am I wasting my money by streaming to them?
No, is the immediate answer to that first question. So we made a decision when we started TrueFans. We have two options. One, you could go to stream sats to a favorite podcaster and suddenly find they haven't claimed it, and we would then place a message, something along the lines of, this podcaster hasn't claimed their podcast, please ask them to do it before you can stream sats to them. And there are other apps that say that. But we thought that that was a bad user experience, because you're in the moment, you're enjoying the content, and you've reached into your wallet and you've made that decision to give them some micropayment, some money. So what we do is we store that on behalf of the podcast creator. We create a virtual wallet for them and we keep that money available for them for when they do claim their podcast. So once they claim their podcast, they will then have a TrueFans wallet and we will do an immediate transfer of any monies from any users, yourself and anyone else, that they are owed by us into their TrueFans wallet. The other thing that we thought would be really interesting is also to email the creator. So that's what we also do. So when we get to 1,000 sats or 5,000 sats, then 10,000 sats, we'll send reminder emails to the creator to say, hey, by the way, several of your fans or lots of your fans have left you some money. It's free to claim. Create a TrueFans account, claim your podcast and get your money. So yes, you sending money to your favorite creators, Claire, is not a waste of time. The money is safe. It's securely stored by us. And we will do the work in the background to connect with the creator so they can claim their podcast and get their wallet and get the money that you've sent them.
Brilliant. So creators, you better get claiming your show. You might have a little surprise when you do so. If you have any questions, then if you've been listening to the whole show, you may know the drill by now. Send us a comment or a super comment and we will answer your question in the next episode.
And that's it for this week. Our audio is recorded and edited using Descript, and we're hosted by our good friends at Buzzsprout.
You can support this show by streaming sats from your TrueFans wallet, or leave us a super comment, or better still, become a monthly supporter of this show.
And if you'd like to advertise or sponsor on this show, please email me, sam@truefans.fm, for further details. TrueFans, monetizing fandom.